chapter 4, verse 10 through 11. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Robin read to us from the message this morning. Eugene Peterson, the one who translated the message, is in hospice care now, which makes me very sad. Friend to Bono, and just really, really, really a neat man. Several weeks ago, I was in Seattle. It was a Monday, Tuesday. I flew back on Tuesday, got home too late for small group, and so Bev stepped in my place. And when I got back, she gave me a full report, and as I had already been told, things went very well. She said one of the things that, what'd you say?
We ran amok.
You ran amok. She said that the group indicated an interest in talking about spiritual gifts. And so today we're going to begin a little short series on spiritual gifts. In the Bible, in the New Testament particularly, spiritual gifts are always talked about in reference to the body of Christ, which is the church. But I want to talk about body of Christ, and I want you to think about body and your participation in the body. The title is A Cell in Christ's Body. And so think of yourself as a cell or a part of Christ's body. And I want to begin by talking about Philip Yancey and Paul Brand. Philip Yancey is a wonderful Christian writer. He writes some of the best stuff out there. He's one of the most honest writers I've ever seen. Dr. Paul Brand is a doctor that works specifically with lepers. And he's internationally known as an expert on leprosy because of his work. In 1980, those two men co-wrote a book called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And in that book, Dr. Brand supplying the information for it, Philip Yancey doing the writing, talk about the body, and they break it down, the body, into cells and bones and skin and motion and nerves and all of that, and they talk about how all of those things work conjointly to make the body what it is. Well, I want to ask you what it is that you would be willing to do without in your body. How about a right arm? How about a leg? Or a sexual organ? Or hearing? Or vision? Or taste? What would you be willing to give up this morning? Come on down. Bring your thing that you're willing to give up. Well, I can tell you already that none of you will willingly give up anything, because we realize how all of the parts work together and make us who we are. I cut the tip of my thumb off several years ago when we were in Lodi. And I can tell you that today I still miss that little tiny tip of my thumb. That's how God designed us. The intricacy of the human body, all of the parts play this role in making us whole and making us who we are and making us able to enjoy our lives as we do. When you made a decision to be a part of Christ's body, you became part of a living organism. This is just as living and just as real as this is, the human body. It's every bit as complex as the human body is. When you think about what each and every one of us bring to the function of the body, it's complex. Every one of you has some different sensibilities, different abilities, different insights, different experiences, different contributions to make. And so it's not a mistake that Jesus talks about body of Christ, human body. And those two things cross multiple times in the New Testament. Paul Brand talks about a part of the body that decides to live mutinously. You know, a mutiny is when sailors on a boat take over the boat and lock the captain in the brig and determine the ship's course from that point on. Well, what happens when a part of the body behaves mutinously? Paul Brand describes a lipoma, L-I-P-O-M-A. A lipoma is a cell that decides to live outside of the body. And you can Google this, and you'll see pictures of different kinds of lipomas, but all of them have decided to siphon off nutrients from the body, but to live independently, to do what they want to do. They're... description is of a woman, an Indian woman, laying on a street, I suppose in New Delhi, and beside her body laying on the sidewalk or wherever she's laying is this big, shiny, gelatinous thing, this growth. It's big and shiny and fat, and she's emaciated. Because what it's doing is it's taking away from her all of her nutrients. It's a mutiny. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, a member of that church who was living this way, that has caused bad influence, bad relationships, bad theology to exist in the Corinthian church. And Paul says, you need to get rid of that. Cut that lipoma off, because what it's doing is it's hurting the church. John talks about Diotrephes in 3 John, verses 9 and 10. He says, Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. He was siphoning off the leadership and the energy and the joy of the church of which he was a part. The idea that the church is hierarchy, that it gets handed down, is really antagonistic to the idea of body as a corporation, of body as a thing where every piece, every part of the body plays a distinct role. You could argue that the brain, you know, kind of calls the shots. It tells the heart when to pump and the lungs when to breathe and that sort of thing. But you could also argue that that's its unique function, and everything else has a unique function as well. If a body won't work correctly, then the body loses that particular ability, that particular sense, that particular insight. The idea that one thing does it for the whole body is not true. I've heard people say, in reference to pastors and churches, that's why we hired you. Can you imagine that? We've hired you to serve the function of all the rest of us. What an awful idea. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, he's doing this to the Corinthian church, and he says, I still have to feed some of you with milk. You ought to be eating solid food. It's his way of saying, you ought to be growing up. You ought to be doing your part. You ought to be nurturing this church rather than only sucking from a bottle. Another thought that won't go away is that until we grasp the importance of the body and our part in the body, then there's no point in talking further about spiritual gifts. I once sat in on a conversation, and a group of elders were talking about one of the deacons of this church, large church. And this deacon wasn't doing anything. He was just showing up for church and then going home. There was no visible evidence of his serving this body of people and fulfilling his role within that church. And the elders, in their infinite wisdom, said, well, let's give him the track rack. That's that thing that sits out in the foyer that full of little Christian tracks. Let's give that to him, and maybe he'll start being a deacon. Maybe he'll start doing what he ought to be doing. So spiritual gifts have a relationship to the body of Christ, right? And if I don't understand the point, the purpose of the gift and my connection to this body, I don't understand spiritual gifts. There's really no point in me talking about it or thinking about it further until I have thought about that important point. In his first letter, Peter writes to people who are living as foreigners in Galatia. These people in Galatia would have been disconnected from their homes. They were away from family. They were away from culture. We don't know why they were there, why they got kicked out of their home, what caused this big migration to Galatia. But they're out of sorts. They've got to get new doctors and a new gym and new schools for the children and a new job. And so Peter addresses how you live in that kind of context. You ever moved and had to make all those decisions? Peter says, pray in a disciplined way. He says, love and care about each other. So he's talking about the body. Be hospitable. And the fourth one, use your gifts to serve one another. Notice he's not saying, serve yourself. Notice he's not saying, improve your career. He's saying, serve one another. And so I have to really understand that before I understand what gifts are, why gifts were given to us. So Peter gives them some for instances. And I don't think he was trying to to quantify using your gifts. I don't think he was trying to do that. I do think he wanted them to think about what they had of value to share with other people. So he mentioned speaking and teaching and helping as gifts. We've all seen someone who's a natural at helping, haven't we? They're the ones that show up. They're the ones who are focused and concentrated. And they're just good at it. We all sort of identify them that way too. Whenever we talk about spiritual gifts, I start thinking about, well, are there tests? There are some. And most of the time I walk away from them going, this is not helpful. It's sort of like, more like Rorschach than anything else. You know, what do you see in this ink blot? You take this test, and what do you think you have? And I really think the body helps determine that. Other people know what we do well, right? And a body has a way of being able to move people in the right places and say, would you do this? Would you help us out in this way? But again, I'm not going to be concerned about that if I'm not really aware of what the body is and my relationship to the body. If I feel no obligation to John and Erica, why do I care if I have the relationship, gift of helping? Why do I care? It's just John and Erica, but you know, if I don't see them next week, that's no big deal. And so there's this really important thing of my role in the body. What I would say is that if you're only the tip of a thumb, you're important. You know how many things I drop because of that little tiny half inch missing from my thumb? How many times do I have to say, hey, Bev, would you button this button? Because of that half inch. Everybody is important. The whole matter of spiritual gifts only makes sense in the context of the body of Christ. It's the only place it makes a speck of sense. For a Christian to desire gifts, to say, yeah, I want to learn about gifts, but to ignore the context of the gift, to ignore how I'm going to use it, to not even think about whether or not it glorifies God and it helps my brothers and sisters, is like being a gifted runner, but to cut off your legs and put them in another context. It's not helpful, is it? It is the body of Christ where Jesus continues to do his work in the world. We are his presence. We are his arms and legs. We are his purpose. It's where his gifts are magnified and valued. So, Rich told us this morning that he wasn't feeling it this morning when the alarm went off, that he really wanted to roll over for a little more sleep or just to have some time alone. What if he had done that? What if he had done that? What would have happened? What would have happened to you this morning if he had done that? You don't want me leading singing. You didn't have to agree with me. What would have happened? I want you to think about that. What if Rich had just rolled over and said, oh, well, I don't care about Mike and Judy. This morning, I care more about me. And then you start to get a picture of why gifts are important and how gifts are to be used, right? The whole matter of spiritual gifts makes sense only in the body of Christ. You can't go out and buy a business book and find a chapter on spiritual gifts and the corporation. It's not going to be there. Spiritual gifts are used here. Paul said, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The responsibility of their recipients is to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the body of Christ. That's the purpose. So I began the sermon talking about the Yancey Brand book. It's still in print, and it's really worth reading. Here's what Phil Yancey said about the book and about Dr. Brand. Brand saw studying the human body a worthy endeavor in itself. It shed light on a metaphor used more than 30 times in the New Testament. The body of Christ, in which the church is presented as a universal body, comprising individual members joined to Jesus Christ as head. What a great metaphor. What a great image to think about when we think about the church. So I want to leave this lesson. Now we're going to go on next week. So come back. Don't miss the pieces of this. But I want to ask you this question. And I want you to mull it over. Do you accord to Jesus' body the importance due it? That's your question for the week. Which brings me back to the subject of spiritual gifts. We do not use them for their intended purpose when we do not use them specifically for the body of Christ. Period. Dear Father, we thank you for the ways you have included us in your purposes, giving us a place to live within your mercy, equipping us with what we need to live in prepared ways in the world, and magnifying our witness through your Spirit. Help us to be conscious of what it means to wear your name, possess your gifts, and live inside your community. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.